It's Marketplace Tech for Thursday the 5th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. We've been talking about CES this week and all the trending topics of the massive event in Las Vegas. It draws tons of tech startups and bigger companies that want to show off just how techy they are. One way for companies to do this, robots, of course. A combination of conversational software and improved hardware mobility is promising all a robot-driven future. Is that future now? Our senior tech correspondent Molly Wood is in Las Vegas on the floor. Hi, Molly.
Hey, Ben.
So, Molly, enough about autonomous cars and virtual reality and drones. I think we all want to talk about the same thing, right? Robots? Is this the year?
So this is as close as I have seen it. We're finally starting to see a lot of personal robots. There's a whole robot pavilion. There's the Curry. It's from Mayfield Robotics. It's all about having emotion. There's a tabletop robot called the Ollie, which has a personality that actually evolves over time using artificial intelligence. And then LG demoed all kinds of robots in its press conference. Obviously, they're known for the robotic vacuum cleaners, but they demoed the Hub robot, sort of a cute little version of like the Amazon Echo. And then they had a series of robots that are designed for commercial interactions, like this one, which is an airport helper robot.
Hello, everyone. I am Airport Guide Robot. Your boarding time is 8:30. The number of the gate is 15. It's 150 meters away from here. It takes about 5 minutes.
I am Airport Helper Robot. That has got to be the worst thing that I've heard a robot say.
It's so personal.
But it is the same question every year at CES, right? Are these robots really ready for prime time, Molly?
That's the question with everything that we see at CES. And let's be honest, half of the stuff we see here might never come out. Things like the commercial robots, I think, have the best potential. Those are actually going to be super useful. So much of this stuff that I'm seeing is really just sort of a friendlier version or like a robot with a face that is really just basically at heart an Amazon Echo or a Google Home. And those are names that are already known to most people. And so I suspect that the personal robots most people get, at least in the near term, are going to be Echoes and Google Home devices because they kind of all do the same stuff. It's just that some are cuter.
I suppose that's good. Molly Wood, Marketplace's senior tech correspondent on the floor at CES in Las Vegas. Molly, thanks a lot.
My pleasure, Ben.
Here's a number for you, $200 billion. Apple's got that cash just sitting overseas. President-elect Donald Trump has proposed a tax holiday for big companies, including Google, Microsoft, and Apple, hoping that a bunch of that money they're making and storing overseas might come home someday soon and maybe get put to work in the form of investments in U.S. jobs and new innovative products. Eric Gordon is a professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Eric, how are you?
Hello, Ben. I'm fine.
So explain to me how repatriation tax holidays work.
The way the repatriation works is it's sort of like, let's make a deal. You can bring the money back if you pay, let's say, a low rate of tax. President-elect has suggested 10%. And that would allow the companies to bring all of that cash, or as much as they want to, back to the U.S. without paying sort of the exorbitant 35% tax. The idea is it's an incentive to get them to bring the cash back to the U.S. and to put it to work here.
This proposal is a bit of a gamble, right?
Yes, it is, because you have to hope that the companies will invest it in these new technologies and not just buy off the shareholders by increasing their dividends.
Well, we know that Apple, for instance, is used in Ireland for a bit of a tax haven. How is Ireland going to feel about this kind of proposal?
They actually have put some of the money to work building factories. They have a very well-educated workforce, so Ireland will be okay, but the tax bonanza is going to disappear, assuming this goes through.
The U.S. tried this once before, right, back in 2004. What happened then?
Yeah, it was kind of a mixed bag. They offered a really low rate, 5.25%. A lot of money came back. Unfortunately, it's hard to sort out the results because it happened at a time when companies were cutting back on their workforce for other reasons. So there's a lot of criticism that it didn't work. But it's not clear what would have happened had that money not come back.
Why should companies do this now? Why not just leave it overseas?
Well, because this might be a very good time to invest the money in things that America is great at. We are really great at developing these technologies. It can be developed worldwide, but we still are the leader. So bringing that money back home to our technology workforce would be a really good idea.
Eric Gordon, he is professor at the University of Michigan Ross School of Business. Eric, thanks for talking to me.
My pleasure, Ben.
This week, we are talking tech resolutions. And yes, we've been getting some great New Year's tech resolutions from you. You want proof? Yeah, I got your proof right here. Patricia Toledo's resolution, quote, to become a techie mom, just opened up, diagnosed, and fixed my toddler's toy train. Now to build a mechano. From robots to comments, Michael Kimmerline says, spend less time reading comment sections. Rarely constructive, mostly misinformed arguments. Michael, I hear you, buddy. But Marketplace.org isn't so bad. Just saying. All right, here's a couple more from Marketplace producers Daniel Shin and Jenny Josephson.
I want to build a computer, mostly for video gaming purposes, but I also really want to understand how they work, because I don't know how to build a computer, and I think the process of learning that will be pretty fun, hopefully. It's not like I'm going to do it in the first month or so. This is going to be probably a year-long project.
My New Year's tech resolution for 2017 is to get lost in virtual reality, to push it as far and fast as I possibly can and just really understand it as a new way of storytelling, and also to remember to feed my dog while I'm doing it, because you get really immersed.
Marketplacers Jenny Josephson and Daniel Shin there. We also want to hear from you. Tweet us. We're at Marketplace Tech, or you can give us a call. Leave me a voicemail, say whatever you want, including your tech resolution. Call 304-87-TECH-1, 304-87-TECH-1. I'll be waiting. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's our show today. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.